Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Can you explain what Scripture teaches on taking up the offense of another? For example, unfriending, cold-shouldering, or treating someone poorly with whom there has been no personal sin or offense, but instead a falling out with a close friend or family member. Do the same principles apply as if there had been a personal offense? What is the best way to respond as both the offender and the offendee by association?
Yeah, so This question, this is now the third episode that we're dealing with, and we're finally going to answer the question. If you missed the first two episodes, you'll want to go back and read them. You'll want to go back and listen to them, because the principles that we discussed there are the things that we're going to apply here, and they're going to sound really harebrained if you don't know what we're talking about. So that is why we did those first two episodes, so that we all have the same understanding of biblical forgiveness before we start actually applying these things to this particular situation.
So, biblically, how should we view taking up an offense?
All right. Well, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of a person taking up an offense. Taking up an offense is to say, I'm offended, I'm upset, I'm angry because you sinned against someone I love. Now, as this listener mentioned, there is no sin against me personally. I just love the person who was sinned against, and so I'm angry at the offender. So what does that mean regarding biblical forgiveness? Well, there's nothing for me to do on the issue of forgiveness. I'm not a party to the sin, either as the offender or the offended, so I don't need to forgive that person, and that person doesn't need to seek my forgiveness. There has not been a sin against me. But remember that we noted from Ephesians 4 that forgiveness is separate from the act of putting away anger. So in this situation, I'm definitely in that Ephesians 4, 26, and 27 situation. And those verses read, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil." So while I don't have anything to forgive, I do have some anger that I do need to deal with. Mm. Now, is there anything wrong with being angry because someone has sinned against somebody I love? I would say no. That may be righteous indignation, and it's not wrong as long as I obey Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 and deal with it in a timely manner. I've got to put that anger away quickly so that it doesn't fester in my heart. And that's true even though a sin hasn't been committed against me and there's no need for biblical forgiveness for me. And I have to do that whether or not the person is taking responsibility for what they've done. And that makes it really hard. You know, if I see that this person has sinned against somebody that I love, they're not taking responsibility for it. It's difficult for me to deal with that anger, but I have to do it. I don't have the right to a lingering offense, even if I was directly involved. In the short period after the sin was committed against my loved one, I should be on a search and destroy mission to get rid of my anger, regardless of whether the person has repented and sought forgiveness from my loved one. So I think a couple of the things mentioned by this listener as examples, unfriending, cold shouldering, treating somebody poorly, these are the fruit of ungodly anger, and they're never appropriate. They aren't appropriate for the actual person who was sinned against, so they certainly aren't appropriate for me as a third party. They just should not engage in these things. Much of what we call taking up an offense is simply undealt with anger against a person who hurt a friend or loved one, and the devil has taken advantage of it in accordance with Ephesians 4:27. And that anger has now been transformed in my heart into destructive bitterness. And we just absolutely have no right to that. I do not have a right to that anger that has turned into bitterness. In fact, it's a cancer to me. It's a cancer to everyone around me. And that's why Paul says, look, you gotta deal with this quick. Now, there is something crucial that we're missing in our identity as believers if we think that harboring such things is okay.
Yeah, our impulse as believers should be the pursuit of reconciliation.
Absolutely. reconciliation is who we are as believers. So first, when someone has sinned, whether it's against us or another person, they have something between them and the Lord. They have sinned first and foremost against God. And we find that principle in Psalm 51. And as David was repenting of his sin with Bathsheba, and in a sense, he sinned against everybody, but there in that psalm, he says, against you and you alone have I sinned, O Lord. So there's this vertical component to the sin, as well as a horizontal, and the vertical is more significant for the soul of that person who has committed the sin. That when there is sin between a person and God, their fellowship is hampered to some degree. As I've already mentioned, David experienced that, and we read about it in Psalm 51. Listen to this from later in Psalm 51. He says, "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." So David was experiencing a wall between him and the Lord. He was not enjoying his salvation. He felt as if he was far from God. So if that person who has sinned against my loved one isn't a believer at all, there's a far bigger issue going on than what they've done to me or somebody else. That person is doomed to hell, and that needs to be addressed, and I need to give them the gospel. Now, many of us may have a problem grasping the concept of evangelizing an enemy, but that's precisely what God did for all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Christ brought the gospel to us in himself and died for our sins, he was doing that for a sworn enemy. So if we love as Christ loved, we should want everyone to be reconciled to the Father, reconciled unto salvation, those who don't know him, and reconciled to renewed fellowship, those who are believers. Reconciliation to God, that's our mission as believers. And we could think of this as a rescue mission. And it is our job, whether that person sinned against us or not. That's the first thing to keep in mind. We're to be all about reconciliation. The second, in the kind of sins that we're considering here, that person has an offense between them and someone else too, possibly us, but we should want that reconciled as well. We have clear biblical commands in the Bible for the offender to pursue reconciliation. That's Matthew 5, 23 and 24. If you know you've sinned against somebody, you need to go and make it right. We have clear biblical commands for the offended to pursue reconciliation. That's Matthew 18, 15 and following. If somebody sinned against you, you have a responsibility to pursue reconciliation. Guess what? We have clear biblical commands for a third party to pursue reconciliation between two opposing parties. Philippians 4, 2, and 3, Paul says, hey, look, these two ladies, they can't get along. All of you Philippians, y'all work this out. Help them to get along with one another. Help them to be reconciled. So just about everybody in that situation and surrounding it has a responsibility to work for the reconciliation of those two people. Now, doesn't that indicate how important reconciliation is? Mm. I mean, no matter who you are to the situation, the Bible would say, get this thing reconciled. And especially the church, because reconciliation is our thing. It has everything to do with the gospel. And if we say that we believe in the gospel, but we're okay with unreconciled relationships, we are living something that is contrary to what we say when we preach the gospel. This is anti-gospel to hold on to an offense, and God has no patience for it. Jesus told some pretty tough parables to that end in Matthew 18. And in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus taught that if we don't forgive others, he won't forgive us. I mean, this is a really big deal. So not only should we not be holding offenses vicariously, that is not taking up offenses, but we should be seeking reconciliation in that situation.
So what about in the situation where we have sinned against someone and someone close to them has taken up that offense?
Well, many of us have been in that position. You know, say I've sinned against person A. Person B, who is person A's loved one, takes up a position of anger against me, perhaps eventually transforming into bitterness. What should I do about that? Well, first of all, I should bend over backwards demonstrating true repentance to person A, the person that I actually sinned against. I should go to that person, express repentance. I was wrong to do this, and I should name that sin biblically. I should not cover it up with Oprah speak or, you know, making excuses for myself. This is what I did. This is what the Bible calls it. I was wrong to do this. I regret it. I hate the pain that it's caused you. I regret the wall that it's placed between us. And here's a key thing to say. I don't ever want to sin against you again in this way. Will you please forgive me? If it's a situation in which restitution can be made, I should make restitution. So, like, if I stole something, I need to replace it in spades. I need to express repentance to the Lord and seek His forgiveness. But regarding person B, that is the loved one of the person against whom I've sinned, what is there to do? Well, after I've sought the forgiveness of person A, I can approach person B and express repentance too. I could tell them that I'm sorry, but I don't need to ask their forgiveness. By the way, asking forgiveness and saying you're sorry are not the same thing, and many people think that they are, but apologizing is not the biblical path to reconciliation. Forgiveness is. So biblically, we ought not say to somebody, I'm really sorry, and think that everything is okay. No, I should express repentance, and then I should ask them to make the promise of forgiveness on the basis of that repentance so that we can be reconciled. So that's how I would apply these principles to this situation. Hope that's been helpful. We may have some kind of spin-off episodes as people think about these issues of forgiveness. So if you have follow-up questions regarding forgiveness or reconciliation, repentance, anything like that, just send them to us. We'll be happy to answer those questions.
Yeah, we do hope you found this helpful. If you do, please give it a like on our social media presence, share it with your friends. Until next time, Greg.
All right, see ya.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.